Can I warn you, as I warn myself, even if they are our family, beware lest you fall from your steadfastness. No matter who they are, we cannot stray away from the truth of God's gospel. Now, Paul, who Peter references as being true in his theology, gives us the same counsel. Now, look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, page 842. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we see that Paul gives us the same counsel. Beware of those who are ignorant, those who are unstable, those who believe that they should build upon the word of God and make it work for them and their cause. Anybody who ever tells you that they have an understanding with God, that they can manipulate the word of God, that it's okay, that God understands, then you need to beware, because they're trying to wrestle you into a point of unbelief and lead you down a pathway that's going to lead you to destruction along with them. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, skip down to verse number 16. As Paul gives a warning about those who would try to add to and take away from the theology of God, from the doctrine that God has given to us. He says, I have planted. Now, what was happening here in 1 Corinthians 3 is that Paul found out that there were people who, rather than identifying themselves with Christ, they were identifying themselves with the person who led them to Christ. You know, they were like, you know what, I'm a Paul and I'm of Apollos, you know, and that it was a bigger thing to be of one or the other. And that was the way they identified themselves, and probably was like a separation point between the believers, that whereby they were not able to be as effective in ministering to other people because they were so much into who led them to Christ. And now here Paul comes in and he says, wait a minute. I need you to grab a hold to what is the most important thing. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And now he that planteth, and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builded thereon. Now, when I was reading this, what really struck out for me, as Paul was giving this instruction to the believers there, Paul says, the person who plants and the person who waters, in effect, they're nothing. Because what is really important is that the Word of God, that the Holy Ghost works into the heart of people, and that the Holy Ghost grabs a hold to the heart and brings that person to salvation. He says, but praise to God, we can be a little bit a part of it, that we can tell somebody about Christ, but it's not so that we can write their name down and add them to the good book of Meredith to say, these are the people that I have brought to the Lord. Look what I've done for the Lord. I am so good in God's eyes. That's not what it's all about. Amen. He says, it's not about that at all. But then Paul goes on and Paul says, he says, God has given him a ministry. And I want you to know that God has given every one of us a ministry just like Paul. Paul says, I am a wise master builder. And what Paul is saying is that God has already given him the plans. That God has already laid out what this building is supposed to look like. And God has given him the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to build it just like God has designed it. And he has given us the same ministry today to be wise master builders. And he says, what does the wise master builder do? He says, here's what he do. He says, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. He says, be a wise master builder. Don't be unstable. Don't be ignorant. Don't be unaware of the penalties of unbelief. He says, for other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He says, that is the only foundation. He says, and if we will build, if we will be like Paul, if we will be like Peter, if we will be the ambassadors that God has set us forth to be, then we will be wise and we will tell people about Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only.
Amen.
And we will say, build on my foundation. Tell somebody else about Jesus. Forget my name if you have to. It's not important who I am. It's only important who Christ is.
Amen.
Beware. 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 Because there are some out there who'd rather you know their name than the name of Christ.
Amen.
Y'all hear me? He says, beware lest you fall from your steadfastness. He says, we got to build on the foundation, which is Christ. Verse 12, he says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest or shall be made known. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Now I want you to see, here's how the word of God comes together. He says, this whole earth, this heaven and earth that we know today has been reserved unto fire. All right. For the judgment of the perdition of ungodly men. He says it's coming. And here Paul says again that every man's work is going to be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if a man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward.
Amen.
And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Talking about the return of the Lord. And in keeping with his promise, because he's coming, what should we do? Well, it's a simple thing. We should stand on his word.
Amen.
We should stand on his word.
Amen.
Lest we fall from our steadfastness. I promise you we were going to finish out Psalm 37. Can you go back there now? Page 442. Psalm 37. So much wisdom about the current day and about the coming day. And about our commitment, our need to be committed to the Lord, to stand on his word, to know that he is coming and that every day that he tarries is a day that he gives us to make a larger impact upon the world for his sake. For it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom, and he's going to prepare it for the righteous. Verse 30 of Psalm 37, that's where we left off. He says, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. And God is talking about a righteous people who are not ignorant to the word of God, who do not wrestle with the word of God, but who have allowed the word of God to work in their hearts. And thereby they understand God's heart and his character and what he desires for his people. And he said they speak wisdom, and their tongue, it speaks of the judgment of God. He says the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. What's the Bible telling us? You don't have to worry about falling from your steadfastness. If your heart, if the law of God is in your heart, because God is not going to allow your steps to slide. He says earlier, what did he tell us? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He says, so you don't have to worry about that. But he says the law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. And look what he says in verse 32. The wicked watcheth the righteous. And I want you to understand that there's nothing new under the sun. He says, not only do they watch us, he says, and seeketh to slay him.
Amen.
Beware lest you fall by the error of somebody else, because they will try to lead you astray. He says, they're watching. They're seeking to steal away your steadfastness. Verse 33 says, the Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land, a land that it's his good pleasure to give to you when the wicked are cut off, and thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a great bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Where do we find peace? Only in Christ. When will there truly be peace on this earth? Only when Christ returns. He says, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble.
Amen.
And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust in him.
Amen.
Because they stand on the word of God.
Amen.
And the word of God only. Simply because we trust him. That's good right there.
Amen.
That's good right there.
Amen.
Not because of the law, but because of faith and because of grace. In keeping with his promise, what does he expect of us? Just that we will stand on the word of God. He will return, guys, and he will claim the believers unto himself. And for all that, he's just asked that we stand on his word and that we work out our salvation, lest we fall from our steadfastness and find ourselves in a place of unbelief. Let's end Peter's letter where he began his letter so that we might understand the theme of his ministry. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1, page 897. So that we might understand, I think it kind of, Peter takes us in a full circle. He takes us in a full circle. He says, every day that God waits is another day of salvation. Paul said it too, as God gave him that great wisdom. He says, God gave him a great understanding, but not all men understand it. Some people wrestle with it. Some people complicate it. Some people refuse to believe it, and it's all to their own destruction. But we got to beware, and we got to stand fast, and we got to be firm on what we know. We got to trust in the Lord. And Peter says, that's where our salvation really rests, in our faith in our God. He started his letter in 2 Peter chapter 1. I just want to read a few more verses there because I think it just wraps it all up beautifully to show us that Peter had one thought to strengthen us, one thought to keep us in our mind stirred up in the promises of God and keep us fixed on that so that we might not be led astray by the ways of the wicked. Verse 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He says it's the knowledge of God that's going to make the difference in your hearts. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, and that's important, if they not only be in you and they abound in you, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, let me tell you what, if these things be in you, you won't wrestle with the truth, but you'll know the truth.
Amen.
And the truth will set you free. He said, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we know that it's his good pleasure that we be ushered there. He says that it will be ministered to you through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Peter's final word. A word for the everyday. Flip back over to 2 Peter 3. Verse 18 this time, it's in your bulletin there. He says this simply, verse 18. He's told us what we ought to do. We ought to stand on the promise of God. We ought to be careful lest we fall But he says, how do we protect ourselves? Well, he just told us. We add all these things and we grow in our faith. He says we need to give diligence and add to our faith virtue and then knowledge and then temperance and then patience and then godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. And in verse 18 he says his final words to us, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to him be glory, both now and forever. He says he is the foundation. Build on that, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So much we can know of him. He's given it all to us. And he's given it all to us in simple language. Our task is to simply get to know him and to grow in him and to stand on his word until he comes back. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful for how you have ministered to us through our brother Peter. I'm thankful, Lord, for the calling you place on his heart to strengthen us. And most certainly, Lord, he's done that. And that he has provided for us further evidence of why we ought to stand on the promises of our Savior. Lord, I pray that we might individually have a desire to grow in the grace of our God, to grow in the knowledge of our God, that we might grow to the point, Father, that we will be immune to the ways of this world, that we will not have to look on to the wicked and see their successes and envy them. But we will know, Father, that you have protected us and that you will protect us. And through our faith, we will inherit the very kingdom of God. Lord, I pray that you will give us hope and give us determination to stay firm in our faith, to stand on our faith. And I pray, Father, that you will give us the boldness to be able to go out and to build upon the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to do it not so that we might gain reward, but so that others might gain interest into the family of God. I praise you, Lord, for your message. And I praise you, Father, for the simplicity of your word. I praise you, Father, that you open each one of our hearts to understand the word and to apply it to our own hearts. I praise you, Lord, that you showed us that it is only through the word of God, only through the person of Christ, that we might have eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for sparing us from destruction because of our faith. We pray now that you will do that same thing for lost people today. For all those who might not know your Savior, Father, we pray that you will let them put away their wrestling. Let them put away the complications and let them see the simple truth of the message that God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, not to condemn the world, but so that the whole world through him might be saved. Father, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.